Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. It would seem like an easy thing, just kill someone. Of course, if you fear your own life, if you fear the people, you have to search for a way to kill someone. You have to look for a safe way to kill someone. And that's what they're doing there. They're looking, how could we kill him and not get killed ourselves? They're afraid of how the people might react to whatever they might do. So they're plotting in this to see how can we accomplish this without stirring up sentiments against us. With any leadership that is corrupt, their position is always tenuous. And the people can easily turn on leaders that they do not respect. They can even turn on leaders they respect. So it's a touchy business when putting to death a popular leader. Verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad, and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Judas, as it is written, Satan entered into him. Now how does this, was he like, oh, something hit me? I don't know. But it can be very subtle. When a certain mindset takes hold on us to do something wicked, the spirit that comes, the devilish spirit, the spirit that says sin is of the devil. The spirit of man is susceptible to the spirits which are more powerful. You know, man on the totem pole of spiritual power and authority is very low. Man does not have innate power over evil spirits. And the spirits, if they have power and authority from God, can do whatever they're authorized to do, they can do. You know, you look at the book of Job, when God gave Satan leave, all the evil that he brought on Job. And also you look in the book of the Kings, when the evil spirits were before the throne of God, the good on the right, the evil on the left, or so we presume. You know, the lying spirit came forth and says, this is what I will do. As it is written in the prophets, you know, there will be a hook in the jaws of the people, causing them to go astray. And what form does that hook really take? It's a spirit. The spirits and the powers are over men. And man is subject to them. Not that man is man just unwillingly possessed of these spirits? And when people think of possessed, they immediately think of things like The Exorcist. I could be possessed of a spirit, and it could just be something very simple. Like I just find myself lying all the time. I have a lying spirit. I'm prone to lying. It's a very simple, you know, we tend to over-mystify, I think, things that are very simple. A lying spirit tells lies. You know, it talks about the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. Those spirits, good spirits, give one the spirit of excellent counsel. And they're not always extremely personified. Spirits can be impersonal, or they can be quite personal, because part of what makes us a person is the fact that God has put a spirit, a spirit of a man, into us. And in fact, it is in the giving of the spirit to man that man becomes a living soul. And when the spirit is separated from us, we die. But there are other spirits that can be added to us to change our behaviors, to alter our way of thinking, for good or ill. And Judas here, Satan enters into him. There was already a lot of things going on with Judas. You know, I can't speak to the exact mechanism. Why? I mean, is this what he wanted? Is there, you know, was he willing, a willing participant? Was he a wholly unwilling participant? You know, on some level, he had to be willing to do it. God doesn't take a perfectly good man and send a corrupt spirit to corrupt him. But corrupt men are corrupted of corrupt spirits. And God allows it. God hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for that evil day. And if the wicked, you know, I know, the reason I address this this way is because I know people have this question. Well, How can God do such a thing? God creates evil. And if God didn't create evil, evil wouldn't exist. And when evil men question God for creating evil, they're just questioning their own existence. God has purposes in creating evil that I feel that I understand on some level, but that which others, it doesn't really click with them. They don't understand. And it seems unfair, and they see it a certain way, and I understand that. I see their perspective. But I'm willing to accept the perspective that it is lawful for God to do what he wills with what is his. And also, that in all his doings, he is justified. God doesn't owe man anything. And man, of course, dealing with man, wants to deal with God as if he's just some other man. And that's not the case. So what shall man answer God? Who art thou that repliest against your Creator? Whoa, that's a cop-out. I don't think so, really. People who don't believe in God never come to grips with the significance of such an existence, with the significance of such a being, and what would apply to that being. I think for him to be good, he has to be good the way they want him to be good. They want to just do whatever they want and get away with it. And God, because he made them that way, should be okay. But they don't understand that he created things on purpose that he intended to destroy. I've used the analogy of clay pigeons. You know, they're the things the clay discs you shoot up into the air to blast out of the air with a shotgun. The only purpose those clays serve is to be shot at and destroyed. And that's what the wicked are in this world. They were created to be destroyed. And so, they could have been never created, but that's really not up to us, is it? And Judas and these things that befall him, what is he going to go to God and say, why'd you do this to me? This was him. This was his doing. It was what he was. Just because God creates the thorns and thistles and creates the wheat doesn't mean he doesn't have the right to judge between them. So whatever it is, man is always finding fault with the way God does things. But that's according to the nature of man. And even that